There are no arguments against forgiving, except bad arguments. In other words, all good arguments are with you and me being forgiving people. All the bad arguments are against us forgiving. So, we read in Luke chapter 11 the words in the Lord's Prayer there, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." Forgive us our sins. You know, literally what it says there is, "Forgive us our sins, for even then we are forgiving each thing owing to us." So the things that are owed to us by others, we forgive. Even those who owe things to us, we forgive. Forgive us our sins. Yeah. And why is it there? Well, because this is what we do. Becoming a Christian means receiving God's forgiveness. And that is, we are done with God dealing with us as a judge. So we mustn't deal with others as judges either. We're done with tit for tat. We're done with grudges. We're done with pettiness. We're done with hate on the basis of anything, on the basis of past wrongs, on the basis of race, sexuality, religion. We're done with holding on to things for whatever reason. Paul says, live in harmony with one another. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that is, we hope others will want to live at peace with us, and we certainly hope God will want to live at peace with us. So we want to also be people whom others can live at peace with. Now, last time, a couple of weeks ago, I told the story, or a little bit of the story, of me forgiving my father. And the first time I've really told it fully, anywhere actually. It's on the website if you want to listen to it. But I held a heart of grudge and hate towards my father for at least 16 years of my life. And 11 of those years I was a Christian. But because it had gone on for so long, I didn't actually really know that I did hate him, and that I had not forgiven him for the things that he had done to me and to my mother. And because I hadn't done that for so long, I'd forgotten what it was like to have a free heart. I didn't really know what it was like to be free of that grudge. And I think probably most people are walking around today carrying things like that, maybe not big things, and sometimes very big things, but they've carried them so long that they don't know that they've got them at all. They haven't actually got any ability to remember now how once their heart was free, how once they were carefree children, perhaps. And because of that and other reasons, I don't think it even occurred to me for a long time that I even needed to forgive my father, because I didn't even know I wasn't forgiving my father and that I did hate him. I didn't realise until God's time for me to realise that. And maybe there is a time for these things. And could it be this time tonight for you, or indeed for me, to find new things in us that we need to deal with? Unforgiveness. Is there someone tonight that you simply need to forgive? Now, as I ask that question, does someone come to mind? That's usually the test. Or maybe a few people come to mind. I mean, I'm not asking you to make up issues, because sometimes Christians, we can beat ourselves up about things that aren't there. We're good at that sometimes. But if we find towards someone, or even just generally, a coldness of heart, a brooding on wrongs, you know, pushing from our thoughts certain people or certain things that have happened, we can't broach them in our hearts, because when we do, we turn it over and we get angry, we tense up, and we don't think good thoughts towards certain people. If there's anything like that in your heart, you need to forgive. And that's simple. And for me, perhaps, I had arguments in my head about why I shouldn't forgive, or I didn't need to forgive, or forgiveness was the wrong thing to do. And, you know, I probably had those arguments so kind of well rehearsed that I didn't even know they were there either. I probably in my heart wanted my father to know the pain he'd caused and the hurt he'd caused and the damage he'd caused and to suffer in some way for it. And I had that kind of argument that that was a right thing to want, a right thing to hold on to. And so I didn't think about, well, what about forgiving him? What about doing that instead? So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go tonight through four reasons why people often think when they have these kind of grudges, they shouldn't forgive. And we'll deal with them one by one. And maybe these reasons themselves will speak to you in some way. So I'll just give you them now. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. Because it won't make any difference now. And they're not sorry. And if I forgive them, justice won't be done. They'll get off with it. And I won't forgive them because then I won't be able to get even with them. So we're going to think about these four things. So let's start with the first one, very simply. I wonder if this is in your mind, you know, when you think about someone, you know, it's been so long that if I actually did muster up the effort to try and deal with it and forgive them, it wouldn't make any difference anyway. You know, we know how to get by. We know how to be civil to each other. We know the things we shouldn't talk about, or maybe even that they're dead. It won't make any difference now. And looking back at my story that I told a couple of weeks ago, my father was dead when I forgave him. But the difference it made to me in all my relationships when I had forgiven him showed that not only had my unforgiveness towards my father frozen over my heart towards him, but it had frozen over my heart. And it affected my relationships with everyone. Especially alcoholics. Probably especially fathers. And actually also, it affected my relationship with my Father in heaven. So, when I forgave my father, even though he was dead and it wasn't going to make any difference to my relationship with him, well, it did, because now I had a different relationship with him. He was my forgiven father. And I had a different relationship with people generally, because I wasn't going around with these grudges in my heart all the time. And I had a different relationship with God, who is a father, because now I was kind of feeling a lot better about fathers in general and about my Father in heaven. And it really made a difference. I remember the joy of the few weeks after that time of just having that intimacy with God as a father that really became a part of my new experience as a Christian after forgiving him. So we should forgive, even if we think it's not going to make any difference. How do we know? We don't. We don't know that because we don't know what we're going to be like when we have forgiven. Because we've not forgiven for so long, we don't even know how different we are from what we were before we forgave and what we will be again after we've forgiven. And in any case, God commands you to forgive. So here's Colossians 3, writing to Christians generally, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So the reasons are both about your relationship with others, you know, forgive whatever grievances, and also your relationship with Jesus, with the Father, because he has forgiven you. So do what he did to you, which opened your relationship to him. Open your relationships with others by forgiving. Ideally, we want to be people who have been wronged perhaps many ways by people, but we've forgiven them all. And we carry nothing. And we love everyone unhindered. So that's the first thing that we've dealt with just very quickly. It won't make any difference now. Yes, it will. It'll make great difference in your relationship with God and in your relationship with other people. But they're not sorry. You know, that can be a big problem. Yeah, so I'm not going to forgive them because, you know, they did this to me and they're not sorry. Maybe they don't even care. They're going on their lives quite happily, but they've really hurt me. So why would I forgive them? Because it doesn't seem to matter to them. But again, forgiveness is not conditional in the Christian life. It's not for you to say, well, I only forgive the people who are sorry. Because one of the things about a Christian forgiving is we are taking out of our own hands dealing with the bad person, and we're handing that over to God. We're not going to place any condition on our forgiveness by saying, let me deal with it, or, you know, they've got to be a certain way before I forgive them. We're letting God deal with it. Forgiveness is, among many things, it's just letting the thing be handed over from our hearts that we're carrying it to God, and let him deal with the person, whether they're sorry or not, or whatever they feel, or if they keep repeat offending. We're handing over to God. And we're also recognizing that, you know, we had to hand over the things that God had to forgive in us to him as well. You know, God does not have us as his children on the condition that we can fix ourselves first, and that we're really sorry for everything, and that we really have sorted out all the bad things in our lives, and we've made restitution for all the wrongs we've done, and we've fixed all our relationships, and now, God, will you please receive me as a father? No, God doesn't put that condition on his forgiving us. And we're simply handing over to God all that's in our lives. Because of his grace, he's willing to take it. And because of his grace, he's willing to do the fixing of us. So let's not wait till other people fix themselves and come and say sorry or make it up to us. Forgiveness is unconditional. We're letting God deal with it. Now, there may be a few practical things with some people. I mean, like, if you've forgiven someone and you really have, and you've got that liberty in your heart because you have forgiven them, it might not be a wise thing for you to go and meet them and tell them, do you know what, I've forgiven you. Because they might not feel about this thing the same way you do. And they might think, what, you want to fight? You forgive me? I've done nothing wrong. And that would really hurt again and make things bad. We're not good judges about what needs forgiveness or what doesn't. The other person might see the situation that we're holding a grudge about in a completely different way. They might not actually have done anything wrong. It's just in our hearts we think they have, and we're holding that grudge. It might not be for us to go. I mean, sometimes it is, obviously. Someone really has wronged you, and it might be good for you in the right circumstances to speak to them. But it is first and foremost forgiving others is first and foremost about your relationship with God. It's not about your relationship with that person. But then next time you see the person, if you've forgiven them, even if you don't speak to them or anything, you'll feel differently towards them. And what a beautiful thing that will be. When you feel in your heart, you know, this person that used to make me grit my teeth and, you know, tense up and feel angry just seeing them. Now I love them. And that's from God. So we don't wait till people are sorry. We mustn't do that. We're to forgive. No conditions. That's what the verse said. Forgive as God forgave you. Forgive one another, whatever you have against one another. Justice won't be done. If I forgive her, she'll get off with it. Well, it's just as well God doesn't use that argument with us. It's just as well God doesn't think, I'm not going to forgive Roddy, because then he'll get off with it. He won't have to pay for all the bad things he's done in his life. Now, Roddy is incredibly grateful and eternally grateful, I hope, that he doesn't have to pay for the things he's done. God does not make me pay for the wrongs I've done. But that doesn't mean that justice isn't done. You know, this is a misconception about Christians forgiving, as though we're letting people get away with it. No, we're not. We're just handing it to God. He will do justice. There isn't a single wrong that anyone has done anyone else in the history of the world for which there will not be justice done by God. The debts will be paid, the sins will be punished. God the judge will make sure that everyone is punished for every sin that they have done, and everyone is banished forever from his presence because of what they've done. Jesus tells us that often. And, you know, no one can be punished in my place. There isn't any other human being that can be punished in my place, because that wouldn't be justice. You know, if one of you were to stand up and say, God, I'll take Roddy's punishment, that wouldn't be justice. It might be a very generous thing for you to do. I wouldn't advise it. You might get more than you bargained for getting punished for my sins. But that wouldn't be justice anyway, because they're not your sins. And you're not involved in the relationship I have with God. I've sinned against God, not against you. So you can't take my sins, and you can't be punished by it for my sins, or God would be very unjust to punish you for what I've done. Nor can God just waive the punishment. You know, some people say, well, God just forgives. You know, it's his job. But there's no justice in that. I guess people often don't think that, you know, because we're used to seeing sometimes rulers and presidents, sometimes they will give a pardon, a royal pardon. They will give a decree of forgiveness. And someone who's in prison has a knock at the door and says, you're free. You can go out. The president's forgiven you. And that's not justice. They might be forgiven for political ends or, you know, some gesture that they're making. It's not justice. Justice is not being done because there are people out there whom that prisoner offended against in some way. And those people are not getting justice if the ruler just says, it doesn't matter, I'm setting you free. No, God always brings justice. But how can God bring justice in my sins and still forgive me? This is a great puzzle. And how can I solve that puzzle? How can God solve that puzzle? I don't have to solve it, but I can't think, how will God solve that puzzle where he forgives me my sins, but he still does justice on my sins? How can he do that? There isn't anyone out there who's guilty for my sins, who can be punished for them. I'm guilty for them. I'm the one who should be punished. That's justice. How can he do it? This is where the gospel comes in, with something that is frankly wonderful and unimaginably full of love and grace. And that is God says, well, I will become a man so that I can take the justice myself. I won't punish a man who is not me. That's not justice. I will punish a man who is me. And then I, the judge, will have punished the man, but no man will have been punished who is not involved in the situation of justice. The man who is punished will be the judge, the one who says what punishments require. And so if he chooses that the punishment that is required is that he dies for my sins, then that will be justice. Justice will be done. And this is what the cross is about. God came down and did nothing himself worthy of punishment, nothing unjust, nothing that needed to be forgiven, but only those things that were worthy of honour and glory and praise. And then he, the judge, took the punishment for me, for all of the people of God, everywhere, in all time. Isaiah 53, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Now that really is a most amazing thing. So if I forgive one of you, if I won't forgive one of you, I can't use the excuse, well, if I forgive him, justice won't be done. Because if I forgive a Christian, justice has already been done at the cross. And if I forgive a non-Christian, justice will be done. Either that non-Christian will become a Christian, and hopefully it'll be easier for them to become a Christian if I now love them and want to pray for them and show them the truth of the gospel. If I can do that, hopefully they'll become a Christian. But if they don't, justice will still be done, but they'll be punished for the sin that I have forgiven. Justice is always done in all situations. And that is the marvel, not only of God being the judge, and that in itself is a wonderful thing. No one ever suffers an injustice on the day of judgment. No one can say, well, he didn't get what was coming to him for what he did to me. No one can say that. But also, the cross is the place where justice is done for the Christian, for my sins that have been forgiven by God. God has punished them. Justice has been done. So even people might say, but Roddy did that to me. Where's the justice in it? The justice is there. The judge has paid. We could say a lot more about this. If you want to just look at the identity of Jesus in Revelation chapter, 5, 6, 7, the Lamb and what he does there, you'll see it all there. He's the judge. He's the one who takes the punishment, the Lamb who was slain, and the Father, because of that, is able to forgive and so on. So, we can't say, I won't forgive, because then justice won't be done. It'll be like letting them off. No, it's not letting them off. Forgiving us is being free in your own heart towards that person to love them and letting God deal with them. If you're thinking about anyone in particular just now, you know, let God deal with this. Any reasons you think I won't forgive, let God deal with them. I'm trying to deal with these reasons. You know, let God take away your ammunition towards the other person. Let God disarm you. Forgive them. You must. You really must. And the final reason is, I won't get even with them. Let me just think. I think I'm slightly off track with the slides here. Yeah, let me just get this said first. You cannot say, I won't forgive because justice won't be done. It will be done. Okay, so here we go. You can't say, I won't forgive because it won't make any difference now. I won't forgive because they're not sorry. I won't forgive because justice won't be done. You can't finally say, I won't forgive because I won't ever get even with them that way. Now, one of the things about not forgiving is we want to hold on to the right, to a right to make the other person suffer for what they did. Maybe we want to make them feel their guilt in our eyes. Maybe we want to humiliate them in some way. Maybe we want to humiliate them before other people. Maybe we want to gossip about them and turn other people against them. Maybe we want to just punch them in the face sometime when we get the chance. Or we want something really bad to happen to them. We want to kick them when they're down. And we just even maybe just want to have the right in our own hearts to dwell on it and brood on it and nurse our grudge. It's a horrible little thing. You become like, a little Sméagol from Lord of the Rings. Absolutely possessed with your obsession. If you take it down the line all the way, you brood. And it eats at you. You lose your peace of mind. You can lose sleep. You might even make yourself ill. But you're still going to hold on to that because you want to get even. And sometimes we say that, that means the person who's wronged us in our eyes, the person who's wronged us, has power over us. And so forgiving means you don't let them have that power. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, no, that's not right. What is it that has power over me when I won't forgive? It's not the other person. Because if I do forgive them, the other person's not going to have changed in any way at all. It's not that they've got power over me. What has power over me? My own. My own evil nature has power over me. My own evil desire for revenge has power over me. In other words, if you remember a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, we preached on the temptation that says, I must get that wrong put right. Well, we're yielding to that temptation. That temptation has power over us when we won't forgive. We are slaves. Not to the other person. They have no power over us. The power is all in our own nature. It's our own evil desires for revenge that have the power over us. So don't blame the other person. They're not doing that. Because if you forgive them then, you'll realize they didn't have any power over me. The power was in that I wouldn't forgive them. That's what was causing me to be so miserable. So we need to forgive. We mustn't use any argument whatsoever to defend not forgiving anyone, anything. We need to forgive. Because if we don't, our unforgiveness will have power over us. And it will eat us up. If we are holding on to that, through an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it will corrode our very character. And it will affect everything about us. It will affect our health. It will affect our relationships. It will affect our relationship with God. And it will just change the way we are as people. Make us less easy to get on with. Less able to have good relationships. When we don't forgive. We forgive. And we leave the judging to God. you want to see a bit more about that, read in 1 Peter. For example, in 1 Peter 2:23 it says, when they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered at their hands, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to God who judges justly. So he handed the judgment over to God the Father. He said, Father, you deal with this. The way these people are treating me, Father, you deal with it. I can't deal with it. You deal with it, Father. And of course, Jesus, in a sense, does deal with it when the Father puts the punishment on him, which he, as Jesus, as the judge, willingly takes. So there are four reasons. Probably that just about sums up the reasons why people would not forgive. If you've got any of these reasons in your heart, they're bad arguments against forgiving. How can we not forgive when this is what we pray? We pray for God to forgive us our sins. And we say, Father, you know I do it. I also forgive everyone who sins against me. I do it, Father. Will you forgive me? You can't say that saying, but if you don't forgive, if you're holding stuff in your heart against people and you've got a little list of people that you've wronged and whose lights you would like to punch out, then how can you ask God to forgive you your sins? How can you do it? Christians are people who forgive. That's strength. That's strength of character. The reason why often people don't forgive is because that's the easy option in their minds. Forgiving is the difficult option, the challenging option. People who forgive when they're wronged are like Jesus, people of great strength of character. We're going to speak a bit more about this next time I'm preaching in the evening, which I think isn't now till the 29th of December. But I'm not saying to you, don't wait until then to forgive. You know, and we're going to think about how to forgive on the 29th, God willing, how to forgive. But, you know, if you realise you need to forgive anyone, you know, now's the time to do it and pray about it to the Father, read the Bible about it, speak to maybe a trusted friend who can help you in this situation, someone who will get alongside you, urge you in the right direction. So when I forgave my father, I was with a senior Christian man, and that senior Christian man said to me, Roddy, you've got to forgive your father. And he urged me, Roddy, you have got to forgive your father. Many years later, it was a tremendous privilege for me as a pastor to witness another man forgiving his father. And it was a similar kind of situation. And he talked about misery that his father had inflicted upon him. As he talked, you see the physical manifestation of unforgiveness. You could see the tension, see the muscles that were bunching up. You could see how it was making them feel. So you've got to forgive your father. Now he knew, as a Christian man, that he had to forgive his father. You've got to do it. And you could see the wrestling in his mind. Probably all these reasons are gone in his mind. But then I won't get to get my own back at him. I won't get to see justice done. And I've been like this for so long anyway. You've got to forgive your father. And he wrestled with it. Just sitting there beside me in a chair. He wrestled with it. And it's just, he saw it. And he got let go. And the whole of his body relax. It was beautiful. You could physically see. You could physically see the health damage that not forgiving was doing. You could physically see that he was a better man for being able to forgive. So, what about you? And what about me? I've had a couple of instances myself recently I'm not going to tell you about, but where I've, one in particular, where I've forgiven someone. And it's been great. No arguments against forgiving, except bad arguments. There are no arguments against forgiving, except bad arguments. When we forgive, relationships open up to us. Relationships with one another, relationships with the person we've forgiven, relationships with people like the person we've forgiven, relationship ultimately with God Himself. Forgiveness is good for us. It's good for the church. It's good for the family. It's good for the community. It's always the right thing for you and me to do. So let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the times that each of us in the past has been able to forgive and for the difference that has made. Thank you, Lord, even in very close relationships where we've been able to forgive perhaps our husbands or our wives, perhaps a brother or a sister, perhaps our children or our parents, perhaps someone who's been a very close friend who has somehow fallen out of that place of relationship with us. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you for the difference it makes. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom it gives. Thank you, Lord, for how close we can come to you when we have forgiven others, and how much we can then enjoy and know your forgiveness to us. What a wonderful thing your forgiveness is. So, Heavenly Father, will you, in your mercy, please pour your Spirit out upon us now, and let each one of us, Lord, let go of the things that build up walls between us and others, and help us, Lord, to be forgiving and to know your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.